1 Kings 17, verse 17, and it came to pass after these things. Now, let's stop. We're going to talk about a woman here, and we're going to talk about her son. This is the same woman and the same son that we spoke about last Sunday night. This is the widow that Elijah was sent to. This was plan B, to see that the man of God was taken care of. And God also in turn took care of her. What a miracle. And her son. And so there's light at the end of the tunnel finally. And it doesn't look like we're going to die. And you know what? Maybe we have turned a corner and maybe things are going well. And folks, this is going to be so relatable to us tonight. I'm going to get ahead of myself, but folks, don't forget this. You know what? Tough things, hard things, bad things sometimes happen to really good people. But God always has a purpose. And so I wanted to remind you who we're reading about. So verse 17, it came to pass that after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for taking care of us, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for this story. Lord, there's so much help for us, but also some instruction. And so, Lord, as we look at this wonderful story, the story of the miraculous grace of God, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to be helped as we apply the biblical principles to our own personal situations. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, folks, as I mentioned just a minute ago, this miracle that we're going to talk about, and we are going to get down to a place where God takes something very terrible and turns it into a miracle. And I think God is real good at taking our messes and turning them into miracles. And so we have a mess here. I mean, that's kind of a Southern Indiana term. What's going on? Oh, we just got a mess going on. And what does that mean? Well, we like that word because it can mean anything and everything. And it probably describes just about every family in this room right now, because somewhere in all of your, you know, tangled life, there's a few messes here and there. And but aren't you glad God can take a mess and turn it into a miracle? And so though this momentous trial, though, does come right after a miraculous blessing. Now, think about this. And look at verse 17. How about this? And it came to pass after these things. And so even this verse introducing this next story reminds us the timing of what happens. After what things? After Elijah shows up? After a woman was out in front of the gate getting two sticks to make a last meal so they could put a little bit of food in their body and then her and her son could die? After a man of God gave her hope, the plan of God, the promise of God, if you'll do this, God will take care of you. This woman and her great faith, you know, to do this thing. And then all of a sudden now, that little barrel of meal and that little cruse of oil, she keeps going every day. How long after this? I don't know. It came to pass after these things. Was it a few days? Was it weeks? Was it a month? I don't know. But you know what? Here we were. We went from we're going to literally have our last meal and die to God is miraculously taking care of us and providing for us. And my son, he's starting to get a little fat on him again. He doesn't look like a little skeleton, and we're eating regularly, and we're able to take care of our extended family, and we're even able to be a blessing. And you know, think of this, just living this dream almost, you know, like, God, everywhere around us is drought and death and destruction, and yet you have reached down and gave us a little space of grace here and miraculously taking care of us. And that woman, I'm sure, woke up every morning singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I mean, you know, things are good. Things are going good until they're not. But it was after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. After what things? After a great miracle? After a time of provision and peace? Just when there seems to finally be light at the end of the tunnel, then all of a sudden, the most unthinkable thing could happen. Her son's no longer in danger of dying of malnutrition or of hunger, but all of a sudden something afflicts him, and she's holding him. Come on, mamas, how many of you spent nights holding a baby or holding a young child or sat beside a bed and watching a fevered brow and just praying through the night and thinking, well, this is going to pass and they're going to turn the corner, only that's not what happens. The Bible says that he fell sick. That was the first statement. And then his sickness was so sore. So it continued to worsen, until the point where she's leaning down. Come on, you're leaning down and you put your ear to his breathing, to his mouth, and you don't feel any breath, and you put your little hand on his chest. Come on, I want to make this real. If the Bible doesn't become real to us, we're not going to get it, okay? And a mama's putting her little hand on her breast, on his breast, and just hoping to feel a little movement, and her little cheek is down by his mouth. Come on, moms. I mean, you can feel this in a way this daddy can't. That's just true, gentlemen. I mean, we can be brokenhearted, we can hurt, but not like a mama. Not like a mama. And all of a sudden, this thing went bad fast. You say, preacher, what is God doing here? Why do these things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? I mean, why in the world? We're going to hear her even say, you know, why'd you come to my house? I mean, why save our lives so that this can happen? You know, why a miracle so that we can then now face this? And I like it when a little bit of a holy hush falls over the auditorium. You know why? Because everybody's been there. Right. And if you haven't, you will be.
That's right.
And so think about this. Now, I'm going to take you to a strange portion of scripture, but I need you to understand something, because once you understand this pattern, you're going to really, I think, have a better grasp and a better response to the way the Lord grows us. You see, folks, God is not interested in my comfort as much as he is interested in my growth.
Yes.
He wants to grow my faith. He wants me to become stronger in my faith. He wants me to become more like Jesus. Listen, I think some Christians really believe that God just saved them so he could have somebody to pamper and spoil and bless. And the minute he doesn't do that, then he's a bad God. You got to get that out of your heart. You're not understanding what the goal is here. So mark that, and then go with me to Mark chapter number 1. We'll go clear to the Gospels. Years ago, I preached a message called The Cycle of Growth. I probably should go back and re-preach that, but I'm not. I'm going to give you the thought tonight. But this is one of the things that will really help you understand some of the things that God asks you to go through. What do you mean by the cycle of growth? If you will, look in Mark chapter 1 and verse 9 and watch what Jesus goes through. He's going to go through a cycle, and we're going to see this. It's going to be blessings, and then it's going to be trials, and then it's going to be rest. And then, guess what? God's going to let you rest a while, and then he's going to bless you, and then you're going to have to face trials, and then he's going to rest you. Where do you get that? Verse number 9, it came to pass in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan, and straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open. Think about this. And the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, that's pretty much mountaintop experience stuff, okay? I mean, Jesus now is stepping out of the shadows into his public ministry. He's being baptized by John. As he comes up out of the water, the Holy Spirit of God comes down in the form likened to a dove and rests upon him, and people are seeing this. And then a voice comes from heaven. It's God speaking his approval. I don't know if it gets much better than this. You know, this is mountaintop. This is blessings. This is wow. Isn't God amazing? Can you believe what God just did? Well, put your seatbelt on. What's the next verse say in verse 12? And what's the next word?
Immediately.
Come on, folks. Isn't it crazy how fast something can go from really good to really bad in your life? I mean, it's just, come on, you're one phone call away, and so am I. I mean, you know, Brother Young, you know exactly. I mean, we came off what an amazing weekend we had. Think about just what God did this weekend and the visitors we had and the little girl saved in Next Level Church. And this is following a string of really amazing Sundays. And then I just get home and I just get settled in, and then I get a text and all of a sudden we got a family in crisis, and can I come get your truck? Absolutely. And you know, what do we got to do to help with the kids? And folks, just like that, I mean, literally seconds, all of a sudden the entire situation of your life and your plans for the rest of the evening and a good night's rest. You haven't seen one yet, have you, brother? You know, if you nod off, I'm not even going to bother you. I promise you, I'm not even going to bother you. Because, folks, when we're going through stuff like that, come on, we've all been there. And you know what? You're thinking of something very similar to what they went through. It's not. I'm just using them as an example. But come on, everybody's been there where all of a sudden it just went. How could it have been so good and go so quickly, so bad? And immediately the Spirit, boy, isn't that interesting? So God's involved in this. The Holy Spirit of God is orchestrating this next phase, okay? So God is allowing this. Think about that. It's part of God's plan for Jesus.
Amen.
The devil's never going to be able to stand before God before he's thrown to the lake of fire and changed forever and ever, ever, and say, well, you never really gave me a shot at him.
Right. You're right.
Come on. You know, because that's what he told God about Job. If you just give me my shot, we'll see whether or not he doesn't curse your name. And so it's interesting. Behind the scenes, folks, not everything that is going on is temporal. There's a visible creation. There's an invisible creation. And God has his plans and purposes. And so immediately, notice this, the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness. Look at that next two words there. How long? 40 days, folks. This isn't just something that came along and, you know, it was okay in 2 or 3 days. This isn't going to be okay, Brother Young, in 2 or 3 days. This is going to take some time. And a lot of the things that God allows sometimes that really grows our faith and tests our faith are not things that just have an instant answer or a quick fix. We're going to see that here. I mean, I'm sorry, God didn't just choose for Elijah to just walk over and say, oh, really, touch his head, say a quick prayer, and everything's good. There was a process. Okay, but notice, folks, God doesn't forget us. And it says, verse 13, he was tempted there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with wild beasts. That's a pretty horrific situation there. Again, just two or three phrases, and we're talking about 40 days, and none of us know that all that Jesus went through of those 40 days. After he'd fasted 40 days, there was this last effort, I think, the three temptations that are recorded. But it says here that he was tempted of Satan 40 days he was tempted. We know three of the instances. I think it was an onslaught. I think it went on for 40 straight days. Jesus chose not to eat during that time. There were wild beasts. I don't even know what that means, to be honest with you. I've studied that little phrase. Does that mean just that he was in a bad place where he couldn't even get rest because of the Creator's creation, the wild beasts that were allowed? Is this talking about something supernatural? I don't know. Maybe we'll never know. But, you know, when the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin, in all points. You can sit there and say, well, You know, he couldn't have been because there wasn't the internet and there wasn't this and there wasn't that. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I think Satan had every resource available to him from all the, I think he threw everything at him. Why would the Bible say he was tempted at all points like we are if he wasn't tempted at all points like we are? I don't know what happened. I don't think we'll ever know what happened. All I know is the Son of God came out of that unscathed and, you know what, still perfect, never having sinned. Never having spoken a wrong word, never having a wrong reaction. Folks, listen, you know, he's our supreme example. But look at the end of the verse here. Well, I've got to hasten. And the Bible says this, and the angels ministered unto him. We can go to other accounts and we see that after Satan leaves him, God sends supernatural angels to come down and to work on him and minister to him and help him and encourage him and help him to rest and recover and protect him. I think they were there to minister. I think they were there with their swords surrounding him. I think for a while it was like, Satan, okay, I gave you this much time, but guess what? You're going to leave him alone now. And folks, listen, God's the one that can open a door, but God's also the one that closes the door. And God's the one that can allow something to happen for a time, but aren't you glad he doesn't forget us? And there comes a point in time where he steps in and says, okay. We say, preacher, what's going on here? All right, this is the cycle, okay? All right, God's going to allow you to experience some blessings in life, okay? And that's wonderful. Hey, by the way, enjoy the blessings. Enjoy the good times. I've had so much fun, honestly, watching what God's done the last 5 or 6 weeks at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I just can't hardly walk around, can't get the smile off my face. But listen, I'm also not dumb. Okay, me and the devil, we've been going at each other for a long time, okay? I know my enemy well. But that doesn't mean I'm not gonna sit here and not enjoy the blessings, worried about what's going to come next. I'm not going to do that.
Right.
Whatever comes next is going to come next.
Right.
And it's going to come when God says it's going to come.
Right.
And it's going to last for as long as God says it's going to last. And then he's going to say, hey, you know what? That's my child. And you know what? You've had your shot. And now I'm coming down. He's going to surround you and help you and strengthen you and get you back going. Give that time of rest. And then, you know what, he's going to start pouring blessings and opportunities again. And then you're going to get, you know, you're going to get to experience some really neat things. And God's going to use you in a way he couldn't until that first cycle was done. Because here's the cycle. I call it the cycle of growth because it's blessings. And then it's blessings. And then it's trials. And then, you know what, those are allowed for a time. And then there's rest and protection. And he helps us and edifies us and teaches us the lessons we needed to learn from what we just went through. And then, listen, folks, this is all predicated on us responding properly. Let's respond right.
Yeah, right.
And by the way, even if we don't, you know what, we can still learn lessons from it.
Right.
We've all looked back at things and said, boy, now that I see this preacher and you're showing me this cycle of growth, it sure does make sense. I'm thinking about some things and, you know, it's kind of, listen, I want to pass every test. You know why? Because I don't like retaking tests.
Right.
You know,
yes.
For all those years down in the learning center, the worst thing in the world was have to go over to a kid's desk who failed a pace and, you know what, walk over with a brand new pace, the same pace they just spent the last 3 weeks doing, dropping it on their desk and say, guess what, you get to start over. You know, I've had to retake some paces in my life. I've had to retake some tests in my life. And that's okay. Because see, folks, God's more interested in you learning what he wants you to learn than he is your comfort.
Right.
In you growing into something that is going to be able to be a greater witness for him and a better help to people around you. And so, listen, don't flip out. Preacher, I just went through a cycle like that. And wow, I'm seeing it now. Okay, well, get ready. Because sooner or later, another one's coming. Now, here's the cycle of growth, okay? You do this, you go through these, you know, mountaintop blessings. And then, you know what? Then you immediately, something comes in, and then you're going through this, and it just seems like Satan's having his way, and what in the world is going on? And God, have you forgot about me? And then when God steps in, and he says, now, son, let me begin to talk to you a little bit about why I allowed it and what I needed you to learn from it. And by the way, I haven't forgotten you. And your faith is going to be stronger next time. And by the way, you're going to have a more compassion for hurting people that are also going through something like this. I'm going to be able to use you to help more people now because you went through something like this. And by the way, I'm going to start blessing and I'm going to start opening the windows of heaven. But folks, the whole purpose is, watch this. That's what God wants. You know, not this. Because we can take the same circumstances and we can respond poorly to them and have it destroy our faith.
Right.
And that's not the devil's fault and that's not God's fault. It's all how we want to react to things. And so, does that make sense? What's the summarization of your entire life? Blessings, trials, rest. Blessings, trials, rest. Blessings, trials, rest. Blessings, trials, rest. Listen to me. I wouldn't take any of the ingredients out of it. Because all those things have to be a part of God turning me into who he wants me to be. I wouldn't ask him to take any of those ingredients away. I don't always like it. I don't always enjoy the process. Look right up here. I don't always do real well. I don't always respond real well. And I'm old enough to know better. But, you know, like Elijah, I'm a man of like passions, you know. So, you know, think about that. This is the formula for growth. Mountain climbing, yeah, been out west a few times doing some mountain climbing. What do? You struggle up the mountain, you get to the top, and boy, you know what? Man, you sit up there and you just can't hardly believe you're there, and you just, mountaintop is fun. And then, you know what? After that, you know, you get to go downhill for a while, because once you're on the top, folks, the only direction's down, and that's nice, to, instead of struggling up, to be able to kind of go down. But guess what? You're going to come to a point where you got to start climbing again. And it's you can see this in so many different things around us. Preacher, I just want to live on the mountaintop. That's not how it works. We need the challenges of the next mountain to grow our faith, to increase our strength, to bring us closer to the Lord, and again, to better equip us to help others. So, boy, this is good. I've gotten so far to, and it came to pass after these things, all right? That's where we're at. Now let's look, in what happened. First of all, the widow's son becomes deathly ill. I just described that, folks. Three things. You can go back there now. Let's get back to, I want you to look at the scripture there in 1 Kings. But yeah, sickness was so sore. Finally, no breath was left in him. You know, he fell sick. And then sickness became worse and worse there, to the point there was no breath in him. You may say, preacher, well, I can understand this. Did he really ever die or did he not die? Because, if you look down to verse 22, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again. Now, we're body, soul, spirit.
Right.
The soul is a part of us that lives eternally somewhere forever and ever.
Right.
And once a soul leaves a person, folks, let me just say this. I believe the young man was dead. He was dead. The Bible says the breath left him.
Right.
If you're not breathing,
Yep. Okay,
so that's what I believe. So here's a woman. Think about this. Again, picture. She's holding her son. She's watching him worsen. She watches him stop breathing. Here she's fervently. You don't think she was praying? I think she was praying.
Yeah.
Come on. But you know what? Her prayers aren't answered this time. Don't you think she's asking the question? Come on, yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
God, why did you send Elijah to save our lives so you could just take my son's life? You don't think that didn't come through her mind? Absolutely. You know why? Because she's made out of the same stuff we are. This is expressed, if you'll look in verse number 18, to her questions to Elijah. What have I to do with thee, O man of God? Now, you know, I studied that little phrase there. What does it mean? It literally means, why did you even bother coming here? Why did you even come into my life? I mean, if this is the end result, at least I would have died with my son. I wouldn't be here brokenhearted now. So that's what he's saying. Like, why did you even come into my life? And then she asks something else that I think is telling, folks. Watch this. Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? By the way, she does just say this. What have I to do with thee? Notice the title, O thou man of God. Folks, I don't know. She may have said it very sincerely. But you know what? Later on she says, now I know for sure that you are a man of God. I'm wondering if this first time she uses this term, it's not used a little spitefully.
Right.
You know, I thought you were a man of God. Why did you come to me, O thou man of God? Look at this. Later on, she's going to say, of a truth, I know that thou art a man of God. So listen, I want to remind everybody of something. When people are going through life crisis, I mean, I'm talking about loss. I'm talking about terrible loss. I'm talking about terrible situations. Don't ever judge a person by what comes out of their mouth. Don't hold it against them. Don't ever repeat it. Come on. All of us have had those times where our faith was tried and we probably reacted initially in a way that wasn't pleasing to the Lord and didn't bring glory to the Lord. Now, I don't want to do that. And again, as I go through enough of these, I think I've gotten better at not letting that happen. But folks, this is brand new stuff for her. And so again, let's always extend mercy. Listen, sometimes it's going to be family you're going to help them in their middle of crisis. And they may say some terrible, hateful things to you.
Right.
Okay? You know why? Because they're just hurting and they're just needing to vent on somebody. As a pastor, I've been in those situations. You know what? In a lot of people's minds, the preacher represents the Lord. And I think sometimes people are scared to say things to the Lord, so they just say it to, you know. And you know what? Get it out. I mean it. Get it out. Say what you need to say. And you know what? Because hurting people aren't always going to respond correctly. They're not always going to get it right. This is where we, you know, remember what your preacher says. Good people given time and space make good decisions. Good people given time and space make good decisions. I don't want anybody to ever judge my entire life on a moment of what I said or what I did during the time where I was just hurting so bad. That I just, you know, come on, we've all got to I don't care anymore points sometimes. And when you get there, some really stupid things could come out of your mouth, okay? But you know what? Give them time, give them space. You know what? They're working through some things. Pray for them. Preach, I don't even know what to say. Well, you know what? You can pray. We'll talk about that in just a minute. We got to hurry, hasten here. This is so full of good stuff. And she says, art thou come unto me? But notice what else here. Art thou come unto me to call my sin in remembrance and to slay my son? Oh, so that's why you're really here. You're a man of God. Therefore, God has told you some of the sins of my past. You say, preacher, did this woman have a sinful past? Yes. And so do you. We all have a sinful past. Now, why does she have this reaction? The same reason that I have this reaction. You've never been there? Listen, a lot of times when something comes into our life, the first thought is, this is God because he's mad at me or he's punishing me for this. For this that happened way back here, God's still been holding a grudge all this time. He's just buying his time. And now I'm paying for what I did back here. Now, folks, I don't believe that that comes from the Lord. I don't believe that that comes from the Lord. And, you know, think about this. The first thing that the devil come to her was try to put the guilt on her. First, she's kind of mad at God, and then she's mad at the man of God, and now she's mad at herself. And are you seeing this? That's why I said, hey, give people time. Okay, you know, you don't, it's just what happens. We're just human. This is hard. Folks, this isn't she stubbed her toe. She held her son and prayed, and I don't know for how long, and watched the last breath go out of him. Okay? And all of a sudden, the devil sat on our shoulder and said, remember when you were a young lady? Remember when you had this indiscretion, or you did this thing, or you said this, or you whatever? I don't know what her sins was. I don't need to know. By the way, you don't need to know what anybody else's sins are. Why don't we all focus on our own sins? Amen. And I think this is a classic move of the devil. You see, folks, listen, okay, we all have a past. But I said this at the beginning. You know, bad things just really happen to really good people. And, you know, the devil wants to make us feel guilty over something in the past. Now, watch this. We're all sinners and we all have a past and there's all things all back there. But listen, watch this. Have you confessed them?
Come on.
I mean, have you really dealt with them? And if you haven't, then you know what? God may bring something into your life to get you to get that thing finally right with the Lord. But, you know, folks, 1 John 1, I'm going to read 1 John 1, 8 through 10. Just listen to this. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's why I said it a minute ago. Okay, we all do. We all have a past. Sometimes we go to 1 John 1, 9. We don't read 1 John 1, 8. We don't read 1 John 1, 10. I'm going to read them all. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So I love to be able to go to the Bible and you say, oh, preacher, this person in the Bible, what a terrible sinner. Well, look right up here. You're listening to a terrible sinner, preaching to a bunch of terrible sinners. And you know what? I think we ought to spend less time running around trying to find stones to throw at each other. We ought to just kind of make sure, just be God, glad that God's forgiving God, and thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that allows us to be cleansed. And hey, properly take care of things. You know, if you've got things that have never been made right, make them right tonight. It's not a complicated situation. I had a young lady, very young lady, one time in the throes of despair, and the devil had so discouraged her. She said, "I think it's impossible for me to ever be right with God again in my life." And I said, listen, you cannot show me in the Bible that verse. Right. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Much more. It's not even close. I'm not giving you a challenge tonight, but I'm just saying you can't sin more than God has grace. And don't take that as a personal challenge. Okay? We're looking at this front row right here. Oh, I'm going to test that out. No, don't test that out. All right, Max, stop it. All right. So anyway, how about Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 through 18? Listen, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. And these have all been taken care of. Okay, so if God's promise to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, if he says, I will remember your sins and iniquities no more, then you need to take this off the table the next time you're going through one of these downward spirals, okay? Because it's not that God's just been waiting for the opportunity and he's been holding a grudge and he didn't really forgive you and now he's going to make you pay. But the devil, listen, is allowed sometimes to come into our lives by God to do some things, and then he's real good at whispering in our ear, isn't God terrible, and a terrible God and a mean God? And by the way, let's look back at your life. You know why this is probably happening? Because of this and because of this. And come, listen, don't let the devil do that to you. All right, don't let him do that to you. Just remember, okay, I'm right with God as much as I know how to be. And if I'm going through this, you know what? I want the Lord to teach me something. And if there is something I need to fix, I want to know what it is. And if there's something I want to learn, I want to learn it. And if there's some, you know what, new level of Christian grace that I could get to so I could be a more effective help to people, then Lord, take me through whatever you need me to take me through so that I can be a better blessing to people around me. And don't let the devil turn around and put the finger of accusation under your nose. That is not profitable at all. And so what was Elijah's response? Look at verse 19. And he said unto her, give me thy son. Now we're going to get to some things here. I really am going to speed up about right now. I promise. Right now. I'm kind of dragging my feet. But you know, folks, you know, it's like anything. You got to get some speed up. You got to get the momentum going. And now it's just going to be like, man, I'm going to tell you, you're going to blink a couple times. And then your eyes are going to stay closed. And you're going to sleep through the rest of the message. And you're going to say, that wasn't so bad. So, okay, watch this. Give me thy son. Sometimes you just got to slow down. There's so much to learn here. Okay, she's holding it. You think she wanted to let go of that boy? You know, she said, nobody can take care of this boy. I've taken care of this boy my whole life. You know, it's hard to hand something over. It's hard to give something up. It's hard to give something to God sometimes. You just say, you know, I can't carry this anymore. There's nothing I can do with it. I'm powerless. I cannot do a thing about this. I did everything a mother knows to do. I know every trick I've ever used to try to make him well. I'm holding a corpse. We're going to talk in a minute about death to life. This is what this whole story is about. All of us that are saved have been passed from death to life. So this is a salvation thing, but I think it's something else, parents. I think it's something else. And so he says, give me thy son. And I think her response, first response might have been, okay, come on. Give me thy son. Give me. Think about that. All right, we're going to wrap this all together in a package. Elijah then took him into the loft and laid him upon his own bed. Think about that. Let's read, okay? I'm not making application yet, but we're going to try to get it all together, and then I'll sprint to the finish line. He took her, and give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom. That's where her heart is, folks. And carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. So Elijah then takes him to the loft, lays him upon his own bed. By the way, there's significance in that. Why did he lay him in on his own bed? What is that even talking about, preacher? Stay with me. And then we see Elijah crying to the Lord. And by the way, Elijah, you know, you can call it fussing at the Lord if you want to, but I love it that God allows me to be very honest with him when it comes to my feelings. Okay? My mom kind of taught me this because I would make a lousy poker player because I don't have a poker face, okay? Usually what I'm feeling on the inside, you can pretty much read, okay? My mom used to say, why don't you say it, Jerry? It's all over your face anyway. Because I didn't want to get smacked, that's why. Well, here's the thing. I wonder sometimes if mama could read my mind and read my heart, but I know this, God can. And you know, folks, sometimes when I'm really feeling something, he knows it anyway. I'm not giving anybody permission to blaspheme God or be disrespectful to God, but I would love for everybody to learn to be honest with God. It's okay to be honest with God. It's okay to say, I don't get this. I don't understand this. Why are you doing this? That's okay. You know, listen, she did it. Now he's going to do it. The preacher's going to do it. So if one of them's wrong, they both are. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? This is the woman, God, that you took, pointed me to. This is the woman that stepped out by faith. This is the woman that you've used to provide for me and this miracle and the it's like throwing a rock in a pond and the waves of this little miracle is gone through her family and gone through the village and everybody's talking about how great God is. And now what are they going to say about you, God? What is this? Okay. And again, sometimes you see David do this in the Psalms. That's why I love the Psalms. You talk about a man that just would pour out his heart into the Lord. Okay. It's okay to do. It's okay to do. And then, but watch this. It's one thing to kind of complain or cry to the Lord a little bit. And he cried unto the Lord. I know that means he was crying out. But folks, let's just kind of also realize, I think there were tears involved. And I think he's just really saying, Lord, are you kidding me? But notice he wasn't done because he had the faith in the Lord. And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord. And said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. So he stretches himself upon the child three times, cries unto the Lord. Then he asks God for a miracle. And this is a miracle, folks.
Yes, sir.
He says, listen, I know that you have his soul. Would you return it to his body? That's wow. Yeah. That's wow stuff right there. So what did God do? Okay. 1 Kings 17, verse 22. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. By the way, Elijah went to the only person that could do this. Nobody else can ever take somebody from death to life except God.
Amen.
Whether it is physical or whether it is spiritual. And, you know, sometimes I read these stories and say, preacher, don't you sometimes wish that you could have went to your mama's grave or casket, or you could have went to your dad when he was laying in the hospital there. And I mean, wouldn't we listen, folks? My parents went from death to life,
right.
And so did yours.
Right.
and a life a lot better than we all have.
Right.
Okay, listen, we all hurt over people, and sometimes we have that. Man, if I could spend five more minutes, or man, I'd love to pick up the phone and talk to my mom right now, or I'd love to go over and catch my dad in his shop and have him sit down in a chair and say, listen, Dad, you got 15 minutes, and then 15 minutes turns into 50 minutes, you know, and you just, I mean, we all have those losses in our life.
Right.
So folks, but understand this, you know, it's part of the grace of God is, I think that if I could see my mom and dad, if God really pulled it back, I want you to think of your loved one, please, right now. And you could see them in heaven for 10 seconds, really see them in heaven for 10 seconds, and then God shut the curtain. There's not one anything inside of you that would want them back here.
No.
I don't care how much you miss.
No.
I don't care how much you miss.
No.
And so, you know, but God chose to do a miraculous thing. Okay? Only God can bring life from death. Spiritually, folks, only He can. Is the one, only Jesus Christ, the one that can take someone dead in their trespasses and sin. And you know what? Rebirth that dead spirit and give them eternal life. I mean, only God can do that.
Right.
And He does it every single day for somebody.
Right.
It was on a Monday. It was on a Tuesday. It was on a Wednesday. And somebody stands up every day. And if they don't in this auditorium, they do in the world.
Right.
God's doing this miracle. Well, I wish something like that could still happen today. It's happening every single day.
Amen.
Every single day.
Good.
She said, "He's dead." But Elijah says, "Well, you know what? Maybe he is, but I know somebody can bring him back to life." Okay? She said, God says, "I can bring some life from death. I can bring life from death. I can restore that which has died, overcoming death." Look, listen, I'm going to say a few things. I've seen God take marriages that were on life support and restore life into them.
Amen.
I've seen God take Christians who were on life support. Come on, moms, dads, don't give up on those babies. Don't give up on those prodigals. Okay? I've seen God take Christians who are on life support and restore life. And I'm talking about spiritual application now, okay?
Amen.
I've seen God take bus routes that were on life support and restore life into them. I've seen God take churches that were on life support. I mean, everybody, that's a dead church. It's been dead for years. And all of a sudden, you come back a year or two, and God's all of a sudden come in there and started things. And, whoo, are you kidding me? I've seen God take youth groups. I watched this happen all over the country. Youth group that was on life support, when they came to a conference or a camp, by the time they left there, I mean, God restored their souls, their spirits. And next thing you know, good night. Are you kidding me? And the letters I get and the phone calls I get 6 months afterwards and 9 months afterwards and 2 years afterwards. And God is still doing something. Listen, because God can take from death and bring it to life. Okay. Now, how do you receive a death to life miracle? Okay. I'm going to give you some biblical applications. We'll close up. Number one, stop pretending that something is dead. Stop pretending that something that is dead is really alive. You know, you're not going to get help until, listen, I've got too many people that just are making too many excuses for death. Imagine if that woman, he said, "Give me your son." "No, no, no, he's just sleeping. He just, leave us alone. He's just sleeping. He's fine." You know, sometimes what you have to do is be honest about a situation. Be honest about an individual. Okay, Lord, the devil's taking the spiritual life out of them. "Preacher, I can't find a spiritual pulse. I haven't heard a spiritual thing come out of their mouth in a year. It just seems like the devil's broken in and got in." And you know what? Okay. All right. Well, then stop making excuses for them. "Well, they just read the Bible a little differently. They just don't agree with everything that Pastor Ross agrees with. They don't. No, they're dead. Tell me one person they've led to Christ. Tell me one person they've influenced for eternity. Tell me one thing they've got to bring to Jesus before a judgment seat one of these days. Stop pretending people that are not okay are okay. All right. Number one, stop pretending that something that is dead is really alive. Number two, take it out of your hands and give it over to God.
Amen.
"But preacher, I'm for me and you doing everything we can. I promise you, I'm for that. There comes a point in time where it gets into an arena where it's only God can do this.
Right.
Folks, there's some things a preacher can do, but I cannot bring life out of death. I cannot do that. That's a God thing. There comes a point in time where you got to hand him over. Think about this. Now, I understand, folks, that the church is not even has not even been established and started. I believe the New Testament church was birthed when Jesus spoke it into existence in Matthew chapter 16. I think the first assembly of the local church was on resurrection evening. I think in the book of Acts, you see it go to fruition when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon it. But, you know, since there's not a church, hey, guess what? This woman didn't have something we have. And you know what? I want you to kind of let Elijah represent not just Elijah, the man of God, but the church. You know what? Get the church involved. Get the preacher involved. Get the preacher involved. Get the man of God involved. Get the church involved. I appreciate that some of you are secretive and private. I've never tried to bust through that. But some of you need help and you won't get it, and it's just pride. It's not privacy, it's pride. Well, how's it going? Have you done anything to fix it? Okay? I say this sometimes. I'm not a potted plant. And by the way, you get the power of united prayer going over a situation. Because aren't we going to see that in just a minute? We're going to see prayer. Okay? So sometimes what we need to do is stop making excuses for people. Make an appointment with the pastor. Sit down and say, this is the situation, and we need a miracle. Amen. We need a miracle. All right. So now, watch this. Then we get into this exercising effectual fervent believing prayer. Preacher, you talked about him carrying up into the loft. And there's significance in everything. Carries him up. Well, let's take him to a higher plane. Let's get him up. Let's take him for where he is. Let's get him as close to God as we can. The situation as close to God as we can. And then here's the thing I thought about, because I'll be honest with you, I struggled about this. Brother Joe, when I started preaching on this, I was dreading this story because I could never figure out what the deal was. Why would he, does he have a magic bed, a magic healing bed, you know? Because I'd like to find that thing, you know? I mean, that'd be pretty neat. And I thought, Elijah took that up there and he laid it in his bed. Now, folks, if there is a dead young man, a corpse laying in your bed, how much rest are you getting?
Come on, that's good stuff.
Isn't that good? Think about that. And, you know, the effectual, fervent, come on, prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent, effectual. I'm not saying that you just, well, I'm not going to sleep until God heals this, but I'm going to tell you, if it's not bothering you enough to take it to bed with you, he took it to bed with him. There's some things I still take to bed with you. There's things that God wakes me up in the night over. Okay. Listen, we talk about what we care, do we? Are we even bothered enough to lose a little sleep over it? Think about that. Isn't that amazing when you think all of a sudden the bed, good night. He laid him in his bed, which means he took it to bed, which means I'm not going to get rest until this is done. And again, some of these things, folks, I know this resolved fairly quickly. Some of you have been dealing with situations that you've marked not in months, but years. We're dealing with situations we haven't marked in months and years. But you know what? I think it ought to still mean enough to us to keep us up some nights. Okay? And can I say this? She handed him over to Elijah. I'm letting Elijah kind of represent the man of God and represent the church a little bit here. But folks, listen. Sometimes what somebody else in the church is going through, we ought to care enough that it costs us a little sleep too. Doesn't the Bible say rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep? It's kind of what the whole assembly is about. Listen, well, preacher, that's not my family. Well, why are you looking at your church that way? Because it's my family. You start looking at your church like your church family, you're going to treat it differently. Okay? I mean, come on. If somebody in this church going through something, this preacher carries it. Okay? You know? And I think it shouldn't just be the preacher. I think I can't carry it all, preacher. Well, you can carry somebody's. Hey, you can carry a few people's. You know, I mean, I think God just tends to do more for someone who's just not praying about their situation, but prays about other people's situation. By the way, and is just as excited to see God perform a miracle in somebody else's family's life as they are my own life.
Right.
Okay. So then understand, folks, this process takes time and requires a supernatural miracle. Understand the process takes time, requires a supernatural miracle. Remember, when we are making a spiritual application, I do want to say this, folks. This corpse, you know what? He didn't get a vote or a say in it. Okay? God restored the soul. I do want to give you this parallel and this thought, okay? Remember, when we're making spiritual application here, we're dealing with a corpse. A corpse didn't have any say in the process here. This people have a say. Living people have a say in the process. You're dealing sometimes with backsliders, someone who's become a scorner. You know what, folks? I can pray and you can pray and we ought to pray and God can still perform a miracle. But you know what? God has to break some things down in their life. And so that sometimes takes time. It takes time. So hang in there, okay? And then what's the end of the story? Look at verse 23, 24. I'll read it, make a comment, and then we'll pray. Elijah took the child. Think about that. Wow. Soul was restored in him. Think about that. Brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him into his mother. It doesn't say that she said anything. Yeah, I know. I don't think she could say anything. Okay, when you see, come on, our children are very close and very precious, and they have access to parts of our heart that nobody else does. Hey, come on, kids, you better remember that and understand that. The two people on earth that love you the most, you've got the greatest power to hurt them. Be careful. Careful in what you do, the decisions you make, okay? But when she saw that supernatural miracle and she saw that answer to prayer come down, I think there's a reason she didn't say anything. She couldn't say anything. Woo! So Elijah said it instead. See, thy son liveth. And then finally she, I think it's done with her crying and her shouting and her rejoicing. She says to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God. Pardon me, excuse me, folks, wanted to say, well, time out, wait a minute. So now you know he's a man of God? He came in, you were ready to die, okay? You had one meal left. He performed a miracle. You've been getting meal out of a barrel that won't work. You get, what do you mean? Because look right up here, and this is the statement. Nothing increases our faith in God and his word than watching a supernatural miracle happen within our own personal family. That just takes everything to a next level. And so I don't know what you're carrying, and I don't know all the circumstances of everybody's life. And listen, I really don't need to know everything, and the church doesn't always need to know everything, but make sure that you're not trying to carry things that you should be handing over. Because sometimes the help is there and God's waiting for your pride to get out of the way. Okay? But you know what? After you've done everything you've done, you know what? God does something in your family. I've watched God perform miracles in our family. I've watched God perform miracles in our extended family. Yes, I've watched it in my church family. By the way, that builds my faith too. I've heard about it, read about it in other churches, but there's something about when God does something in your personal family, you just can forever look back and say, you know what? God is real and his word is true and I can trust him. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us. A lot here, a lot to ponder, a lot to pray over, a lot to think about. I pray, Lord, that you just help us. Help us. I pray, Lord, that you'd come alongside the ones in this church who are carrying the heaviest burdens, dear Lord, and face unfortunate situations. And yes, you know, bad things just happen to some really good people. So, Lord, help protect them from the devil. Don't let the devil beat him up. Help us, dear Lord, to take a look at this portion of scripture and gain some principles and come up with a biblical plan on how to begin to seek a miracle from you. use this message tonight, Lord, for good. Don't let the devil turn it to evil. Lord, help us, dear God, to just have our faith increased. Pray these things in Jesus' name.